Chapter 31. Marin 7. Marin relaxed in one of the sitting rooms across the hallway from the feast hall. The room was warm and pleasant, lightly decorated in dark woods with a thick rug on the floor. He held a cup of rainwater sweetened with rush tree juice, his Dalinar-prescribed allotment of wine long since imbibed. Renarin sat next to him. The young man had been acting strange, even for Renarin, ever since Arador's fight with Meridas. Renarin still held his first cup of wine, but instead of drinking it, he sat staring into the flagon's depths. Arador seemed far less disturbed by the confrontation. He stood by the room's hearth, speaking quietly with several men from Teth Kanar, a third city set at the point of the Sea of Chomar. Winning the Shardbearer's competition had lightened Arador's mood, not to mention redeemed him in the eyes of the other court members. Marin sighed, enjoying the peace. Marin had watched some 30 Shardbearer duels, and the quick motions, the cheering onlookers, and the clang of metal against metal had brought on a slight headache. Fortunately, as the evening had progressed, the court's men had lost much of their rowdiness. Those who wanted to get drunk did so, and the rest of them had trickled off to one of the sitting rooms. The competition's eventual winner was a young man who stood speaking with King Elokar on the far side of the room. Marin thought he recognized the man from the Prelir battlefield, but had never spoken with him. Arador had identified him as the fourth son of an Eighth Lord, which made his victory all the more triumphant. It was unlikely he would have ever managed to get a blade elsewhere. The young man stood with a look of disbelief on his face, one that Marin could heartily understand. Eventually, Elokar disengaged himself from the lucky Shardbearer. He strode from the room, bidding good night to several lords as he passed. The king probably had the right idea. Marin had no idea what hour of night it was, but it was probably well time they returned to Kolinar. Unfortunately, his chair was far too comfortable to abandon at the moment. He leaned back, closing his eyes and sighing in contentment. Marin felt it, even with his eyes closed. He couldn't see the air change when the pendant somehow touched his skin, getting past his undershirt, but he could still feel it. He could sense the wind outside the building, the winds far away calling to him. He felt a burst of strength, a sudden awakening of soul and being. Nothing was ever dull within the embrace of the Glyph Ward. Nothing was ever lethargic, depressed, or listless when he could feel the wind. And yet he forced himself to reach up and pull the pendant away from his neck, tucking it back into position between shirt and underclothing. He hadn't been able to make himself take it off, not with the power and vivaciousness it seemed to lend. However, he still didn't trust it. His mother told stories of the whispering high storms and of the curses they could bring. Someday he would get rid of the pendant, just not today. Marin settled back into his chair, but the relaxation was tainted now that he had been reminded of the greater strength he was missing.
"I don't like this," Renarin mumbled from beside him.
Marin raised an eyebrow.
"What is wrong with you tonight, anyway?"
Renarin looked up from his wine.
"What do you mean?"
"Meridas tricked your brother and made a fool of him," Marin said. "That's not going to change, but Arador did redeem himself. You don't have to focus on it so much."
"I haven't been thinking about Meridas," Renarin said, looking back down at his wine. "I'm worried about Arador."
"He seems to be fine," Marin said. From the pieces of conversation Marin had heard, Arador was deeply engaged in an attempt to get a particular sea silk caravan to pass through Kolinar. Lord Dalinar and Lady Kanay had retired back through the Oath Gates a few hours before, leaving Arador to handle the evening's financial discussions.
"He's been shooting glances toward those two men all night," Renarin said.
Marin frowned.
"Which two men?"
Renarin nodded at two noblemen who stood by the far wall, drinks held in their hands but not touching their lips. Marin recognized them.
They were the two shard-bearers from Crossguard, the men Jezenrosh had sent.
The younger one wore a dark expression. He was the one who had been embarrassed so soundly earlier in the evening, when Elokar had demanded to know why Jezenrosh had not come to the dueling competition.
"Why would Arador care about those two?" Meryn asked. "I don't know," Renarin replied, "but he does. I can see it. Arador followed them here to this room. He keeps standing alone as if waiting for someone to approach him. However, it's never those two. Not yet."
Meryn shook his head, leaning back and closing his eyes.
"The palace guards are right, Renarin. You're a strange, strange man." "Am I?" Renarin asked. "Look."
Meryn focused his eyes open. Arador stood distracted from his conversation, obviously paying little attention to his two companions who were now speaking to one another. His eyes watched Jezenrosh's two shardbearers, who were leaving the room with a quick gait.
Meryn raised an eyebrow as Arador bid farewell to the men from Teth Kanar, then strolled nonchalantly over toward Meryn and Renarin.
"I'm going to go stretch my legs for a moment," he said. "Wait for me here. I'll be back shortly."
He didn't even wait for a reply before following the two shardbearers from the room. Meryn glanced toward Renarin.
"Follow him?"
Renarin asked.
"Definitely," Meryn replied, picking up his shard blade and jumping from the chair.
The two of them ducked out into the hallway. A doorway just opposite them led to the feast hall with its food-littered tables and occasional drunken slumberer. The hallway lamps were lit, and it was easy to see Arador to the right, moving quickly down the passageway as he caught up to the two shardbearers and walked in step beside them.
"What are those three planning?" Meryn asked with a frown, sneaking out behind them.
Arador's trio stopped, and Meryn pulled Renarin aside into a pillar alcove. He peeked around the corner to see Arador speaking quietly with the two others, his face frustrated. A few moments later, the two shardbearers stalked away, leaving Arador alone in the corridor.
"Come on,"
Renarin said, slipping out of Meryn's grasp and scurrying toward his brother. Meryn flushed as Arador turned and saw them, then waved for them to stay where they were. He approached, a deep frown on his face, his eyes still turned toward the men disappearing in the distance.
"Arador, what's going on?" Meryn asked.
"Those men were supposed to bring me a message from Jezenrosh," Arador said.
"About what?"
Meryn asked.
"It's not important," Arador said with a distracted wave of his hand.
"They said they didn't know what I was talking about, even though Jezenrosh promised to give me a reply. I find it hard to believe that he would forget."
"Arador," Renarin said urgently, "the king left the room right before those men."
"You think he might be meeting with them?" Arador asked.
"No," Renarin said. "Those two didn't drink all night, and they didn't mingle. They took part in the Shardbearers competition, but they were both eliminated early. They fought very carefully in the first few rounds and appeared very skilled, but then were defeated through simple mistakes, as if they wanted to progress far enough not to stand out, but also didn't want to draw attention by doing too well."
Arador mulled over his brother's words.
"Come on," he finally said.
Arador led them forward through the maze of interconnecting hallways that crossed the 10 wings of the first palace. Arador took a different route than the shardbearers had, but he moved quickly, leading Meryn and Renarin in a quick half-jog that looped them back toward the royal quarters. The hallways here were dark. Lanterns burned on their wall brackets, but there were no chandeliers, and only every other lantern was lit to save oil. Meryn stopped beside Arador, puffing slightly from their dash and the excitement of the moment. The hallway was silent. Arador paused for a moment, then moved as if to start again. Renarin, however, held up a hand, head cocked to the side. A few moments later, Meryn heard it too. Footsteps. Loud, clinking footsteps, as if... The two shardbearers rounded an intersection just ahead, now clad in shardplate. They had been joined by about 10 men in simple dark clothing, all of whom were armed with maces or clubs. The two shardbearers stopped with a clink when they saw Arador.
One of them wore dark gray and gold. The second was the green warrior with the thin blade Marin had watched duel.
"Did Jezenrosh put you up to this?" Ardor asked, his voice ringing in the empty stone hallway. "Or did you decide to do it on your own?"
The shardbearers did not respond. Their group of common warriors stood hesitantly behind them.
"Killing the king will do you no good," Ardor said. "My father will never stand for it.
I warned Jezenrosh not to be absent from the night's festivities. I warned him that he might lose his title.
Elikar might be a fool, but greater is the fool who heedlessly provokes him."
The older of the two shardbearers motioned to his soldiers with a quick gesture, and they split, each group heading down a different hallway behind him. They could easily reach the king's quarters by a more roundabout method. The shardbearers said not a word, stepping forward, long lines of smoke forming from their hands.
"Marin, Renarin, go and warn the king's guard," Ardor said, eyes fixed on the two shardbearers as he summoned his own blade.
Marin paused. Jezenrosh's shardbearers walked forward with foreboding steps. These men would not follow protocol, not when assassinating the king was their knight's task. Marin felt an itch of fear regarding their gleaming shardplate, remembering how much of a difference it had made in the knight's duels. With scrambling fingers, Marin pulled out his belt knife and cut the strings holding the metal sheath over his blade. The sheath clanged to the stone floor, releasing the blade from its grip. Suddenly, the weapon felt balanced, even alive, in Marin's hands. Its hilt wasn't completely straight, but formed so that his grip locked perfectly into place, as if it were another set of hands clasping with his own. Marin stepped forward, standing in a dueling stance beside his friend. Ardor smiled, though his eyes were reserved.
"Renarin, go," Ardor said. "To the king's chambers first, then to the royal guardhouses if you have time."
"But," Renarin said, voice worried.
"Go!"
Ardor snapped. 10 heartbeats passed. 3 shard blades formed. Renarin paused only a moment longer, then took off at a dash.
"I saw their duels," Ardor said in a low voice, releasing the clasp on his cloak and nodding for Marin to do likewise. "The older one is the better of the two. I'll take him. You take the younger one. Fight defensively. If we can hold them long enough, others will come."
Marin nodded, sweat tickling the side of his face, hands clammy as they gripped his blade. The two shardbearers attacked in tandem. Breaking protocol instantly, they both pressed toward Marin, obviously trying to defeat the weaker of their two opponents first. Ardor wouldn't let them. He charged the older man, the one in green, swinging his blade and forcing the man to engage him. The second assassin swung at Marin. The man's blade was long and straight, its length bearing designs that made it appear to be a series of stacked triangles. Marin ducked with a quick motion, Vasher's training prompting him to action without thought. His opponent's weapon sheared through the corridor wall behind him, leaving a long scar in the stone. Marin came out of his duck and fell immediately into Vasher's stance. He struck while his opponent was still off balance, but the man deflected the strike with the base of his sword, pushing Marin backward with a heave of plate-enhanced muscles. Marin stumbled with a grunt, barely staying upright. The shardbearer struck with 3 sweeping blows, stepping forward with each one, forcing Marin to hop repeatedly backward. The final maladroit jump was too much, and Marin lost his footing, tripping and tumbling to the ground. The shardbearer dove for the kill, but a sudden blow from behind struck the man's back, drawing his attention. Marin's opponent turned in surprise as Ardor skidded past, then stopped in front of Marin. Both opponents pressed their advantage, but Ardor faced them both, deflecting blow after blow. Marin shook his head, dispelling his dizziness as Ardor fought and somehow stood against 2 shardbearers at the same time. Marin could see Ardor sweating from the exertion, however, and could see the man's arms quiver after parrying each of the plate-enhanced strikes. He was barely staying ahead of their attacks, deflecting blades at the last moment, teetering on the edge of being overwhelmed. Marin jumped to his feet, throwing himself back into the contest. Ardor stepped to the side, allowing Marin to face the younger shardbearer again, and the 2 duels separated. This time, Marin's opponent was careful to place his back to the open hallway. As he turned, Marin could see a long scar in the man's shard plate where Ardor had struck him. Marin tried to remain calm, focused on his stance, letting training dictate his swings. yet it was impossible not to notice his own deficiency. Vasher had been right. He wasn't ready for dueling. He fought as best he could, but his opponents seemed to anticipate his moves. Meron knew only a couple of basic strikes, and the lack of variety made him predictable. He could not win this fight. Not fairly, at least.
"Use every advantage you have," Vasher had said.
Meron clenched his jaw as his opponent swung again, using the same sweeping three-strike attack he had used before. This time Meron jumped backward, not trying to parry, only trying to give himself a second of free time. He reached into his shirt pocket, pulling out the glyph ward and dropping it around his skin. The air's movements manifest to him, and the wind's voice whispered to his mind. Unfortunately, he wasn't certain what good that would do. He had used the glyph ward in combat several times, but it had never been as effective as it had been that first day. He could see the air and could see men breathe, but that gave him little aid other than hinting at when an attack would come. Still, slight though it was, it gave him an advantage. He watched his opponent's breath, using it to judge the man's strikes. Each time the man inhaled, Meron jumped backward, getting out of sword range. The assassin attacked with increasing frustration, trying to catch Meron. The man's shard blade cut slice after slice in the hallway's walls, shearing lanterns from their perches but never landing a blow.
"Coward!"
the man hissed, swinging again. Meron ducked away, glancing behind him, checking on Arador. His friend appeared to have adopted a similar tactic, staying out of range, trying to tempt his opponent into overextending himself. They couldn't afford a quick battle. Jezenrosh's shardbearers would overpower them. Unfortunately, the assassin's plate also lent them greater endurance. The battle had only lasted a few minutes, but Meron could already feel his reactions slowing. He was puffing from the exertion and the constant dodging, his arms pained from the occasional blow he had to block. The final attack came as a wave. Meron's enemy plunged suddenly forward, giving little hint of the offense, even through breath. He closed on Meron, swinging repeatedly, forcing Meron to fight rather than dodge. The assassin didn't pause, keeping Meron off balance. The offense pushed Meron backward toward Arador. Meron managed to block each of the blows until the man lashed out with an unexpected punch. Meron struck instinctually at the opening, hitting the man in the chest, but shardplate stopped the blow. The fist took Meron on the shoulder. The force of the strike tossed him backward, and his blade tumbled from numbed fingers. The air in the room snapped back to translucence as the glyph ward ripped free, its leather string caught on an edge of the assassin's gauntlet. Meron fell to the floor again, his shard blade clanging to the marble a short distance away. Arador looked up at the motion, distracted, and the green shardbearer thrust with his thin weapon, striking Arador in the side of the chest. The blade sliced easily through flesh, sinking into Arador's chest up to the hilt and pinning him to the wall behind him. The green shardbearer whipped his sword free, and Arador slumped to the ground, screaming in pain, a trickle of blood smearing against the wall. Meron cried out, rolling to the side and reaching for Arador. Instead of his friend, however, his eyes focused on something else. The glyph ward lay on the marble, a speck of green against the white. Meron scrambled for the bit of stone, but he did so with despair. Evil or holy, it had done him little good so far. Hopefully, Renarin had warned the king's guards. Hopefully, they would be able to raise a defense to stop these shardbearers from killing the king. But it was too late for him. Meron grasped the glyph ward even as his opponent raised his blade for the final blow. Meron could see the air around the blade as it hung, ready to fall. He would watch the air part as the weapon killed him. He heard the wind in his mind calling him. Meron called back,
"Come to me."
The glyph ward flared in his hand, bursting to light with a bright green flame searing Meron's flesh. He cried out in pain, but could not let go. The palace shook, the hallway shuddered as if in pain, and then Meron heard it, a low moan, like the call of an enormous beast. Jezenrosh's assassins both paused, turning confused eyes toward the far end of the hallway, which was the source of the sound. A few scraps of cloth blew into the hallway, followed by a swirl of dust. The moan approached, the stones trembling faster and faster and faster. The glyph ward continued to burn in Meron's hand, the agony searing him to the bone, the unnatural green light growing brighter. And then it hit. A tempest of air, like an entire high storm channeled into a single gust, crashed through the confines of the small hallway. It smashed against the four combatants, dark with dust and debris, entire tapestries and rugs carried by its fury. It roared in Merrin's ears, no longer just speaking to his mind, but screaming with the howl of a chained creature finally let free. It blew stronger than the fierce summer storms Merrin had occasionally been caught in during harvest. It drove grit and sand into his skin, forcing him to curl up against the marble. Above him, his opponent was thrown backward by the force of the wind. Another body crashed to the floor a short distance from Merrin, the green shard bearer also knocked to the ground. Through the wind, Merrin could see the air curling strangely away from the man's shard plate, as if the supernatural metal were struggling to protect him, but failing. The pain in Merrin's palm flashed, then died. The storm slackened, then calmed, then vanished, leaving bits of string and fluff floating lazily to the ground. Merrin groaned, holding his injured hand to his chest and sitting up, dust streaming from his clothing, his shoulder still pulsing with agony from the plate-enhanced punch. Green dust, all that remained of the glyph ward, trickled from his still-closed fist. There was a clink from beside him, and Merrin turned dazed eyes toward the sound. The green shardbearer rolled over, shaking his head as he reached for his blade. The motion ended in a jerk as Arador thrust a sword through the man's faceplate. Arador stumbled, holding his side and slumping to his knees beside the man he had killed.
"The other one."
Merrin lurched to his feet, forcing himself to ignore the pain of his injured hand and shoulder. The second shardbearer had been thrown a good distance down the hallway. The man stood with a daze, then looked toward his blade, which lay on the ground a short ways in front of him, half the distance between himself and Merrin. Both dashed forward at the same time. Merrin reached out as he ran, snatching Arador's blade, which stood upright, sticking from the green shardbearer's face. The weapon slipped free easily, though it sat unfamiliarly in Merrin's hand. The gray shardbearer moved more quickly, plate enhancing his motions. The man scooped up his blade, then swung toward Merrin with a powerful blow. Merrin ducked the attack, feeling it slice the air above him, and came up with his own swing, smashing his blade into the man's back, directly in the scarred line where Arador had struck earlier. The man jerked in mid-step, pulling Arador's blade from Merrin's grasp. The weapon remained lodged in place, seeping blood at its edges as the shardbearer collapsed with a crash of metal against stone. Merrin slumped to the ground as he heard voices approaching. He could only hope they were on the right side, for he knew he wouldn't have the strength to face another foe.